Welcome to 100 of Something. This is the second podcast of Art Harpy and Mr. Bowen. I'm Rachel.
I'm Will.
And we are artists who've been together for 19 years on an amazing art-filled journey that we want to share with you.
Yes, we do.
This week, we will be talking about Spooktacular!
Halloween!
Shocktober!
Scary monster thingies!
Awesome Halloween!
Ooh, ghosts! Halloween. Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween.
Halloween.
It was fun this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, last year I was out in a haunted corn maze leading up to Halloween, so my back was kind of messed up with muscle spasms and crazy stuff, so I just kind of had to sit in the chair like an old lady and watch it go by. Then last year, or the year before last, yes,
right.
I had swine flu. So I missed,
and that was awesome.
I missed an actual party that we had here at our house.
We still had the party. We just had it on top of her head.
Because we have our bedroom in the basement. So I sat down there and listened, or actually had headphones on and was watching a gay wedding planner show from Canada.
Which I'm sure was equally as exciting as Halloween.
No, I cried the whole time.
Was it not a Halloween special?
No.
Ugh.
I was just watching episodes.
Ugh.
And I was crying.
Terrible.
I was crying because I love Halloween. Love it.
It's true. She does. She loves Halloween.
Partly because I didn't get to celebrate Halloween or like do the normal kid stuff when I was a kid because my parents were, you know, uber religious at the time, like Baptist kind of religious. And Halloween is of the devil.
It certainly was to them. So
sometimes we had some lame harvest parties, but it wasn't the same. We had to dress up like Bible characters and stuff.
Harvest parties.
Yeah. Yep. So I go a little bit overboard on Halloween.
By a little, she means a lot. A lot overboard. But that's okay.
This year I bought... Well, some friends of ours brought candy over because we have this super cool neighborhood that looks like something... Like a Norman Rockwell painting came to life.
Yes. Yeah, we have hundreds of kids that just traipse around in our leaf-strewn, tree-lined, old 30s-era neighborhood, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of surprising, given the sort of other places that we've lived out here in the Northwest, where it's not quite as prevalent as it is here, where we are now. And... So, yeah, the whole 3 or so hours of the trick-or-treating time, it's constant rush to the door to see what's going on.
And they are so cute. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The cutest was a little baby Superman, and he was, like, a year and a half, maybe two. He almost sat down to, like, scoot up and down our stairs. And his sister was dressed up like a princess, and she was the one that knocked on the door. And the parents were, like, right there on the sidewalk.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They basically let the kids go up to the door by themselves, and that was it. But as soon as we let them grab the candy and stuff, the little girl turned around, and she was, like, 4. And she turned around and yelled at her parents, "We did it!" So stinking cute.
A lot of homemade costumes this year. A lot more... a lot less, you know, there were like a rubber mask and then something that was obviously sewn together or picked out of a closet and then matched up rather than the standard sort of, oh, we bought this off the rack, even at like Value Village or something like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of surprising. And actually from an art standpoint, that's pretty cool because it means that people... Maybe because of the state of the economy, maybe that's sort of the motivation, but it means that people were actually being creative, and I think that is far more important, you know, to emphasize than you know, whether they looked exactly right or whether they were, you know, there was a spirit, there was a thought that went into it that said, you know what, I want to make this thing,
yeah,
and I want to make it look a certain way, and I'm going to get as close as I can, and you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, it.
Well, our own kid, she painted up a blue dress that looked like a TARDIS.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, yeah. We'll post pictures.
Yeah,
she did a really great job, and she painted it all by herself. Mm-hmm. It didn't help at all. She is 14, so the level of artistry that went into it was age appropriate. Exactly. And if you've ever seen Doctor Who, she totally looked like the TARDIS. If not, then we will post a picture next to her costume so you can see what a TARDIS is. The other thing, okay, so my favorite costumes this year.
Uh huh.
Oh my gosh, they were so awesome. So, I believe that they were homemade.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they were homemade. Mm-hmm. And this Hispanic family, all the kids were under 6, probably. But the reason why I mentioned that they were Hispanic is because they had the most beautiful brown skin tone and these big brown eyes and, you know, the super straight, silky black hair. And two of the little girls in the family were dressed up in identical princess dresses, but one was bright yellow and the other was bright pink. And it just the color contrast of their caramel colored skin with the colors that the mom picked for the dresses, or maybe the kids picked them, I don't know. But they definitely had that like super high quality look to them that you can really only get with either homemade or custom made. Mm-hmm. And then the little baby brother, who was like 2, she had him dressed up like a vampire, but it was,
I remember him.
It was all velvet.
Yeah.
So it was so stinking cute. So stinking cute.
Cool.
And then I think there was one more kid, but that other kid,
I know,
was
you
shy.
Said there were 6. So
no, they were under 6.
Oh, they were under 6.
They were under 6. No.
Okay. All right.
No. Anyway, I love seeing, like, you know, the super white kids getting dressed up in goth with the black wigs and how that contrasts with their skin tone. So to me, it's kind of interesting because then, like, even your skin and your hair and your eyes become part of the costume if it's done right. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you dress up like a zombie.
That's true. The paleness of my skin and the sort of dead flesh color that I have from working under fluorescent lights constantly really does actually accentuate the zombiness of
that
my,
is true.
My zombie costume.
You don't really have to do much at all.
I
with
really,
the makeup.
Yeah. I just, you know, yeah. And of course, now that I'm sleeping better, I would have to use better eye makeup instead of just going with the bags under my eyes as they naturally occur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe muss my hair and groan a little bit. But that actually kind of sounds like me coming home from work anyway. So, you know, really, Halloween for me has just been another day in the year for a while now.
Because you're on the hamster mill, the treadmill.
I mean,
the
yes, that corporate treadmill. Yay.
Yeah.
But
you're doing better now because you don't work for Company A anymore, and now you work for Company B.
That's true.
And you're much happier at Company B.
I am much happier now at, at Company B. Which, yes, there you go. That's
there
a
you
good
go.
Way to put
All
it.
Right. So what did we do? We didn't... Well, one of the kids carved a pumpkin.
Yes.
I did not want to carve a pumpkin because sometimes, like, the pumpkin guts make my skin itchy. I don't think I'm allergic, but it's just, it gets all sticky and gross.
Yeah. Yeah, so the other thing we did this year is to paint sugar skulls. And we did that with some friends of ours, and we...
I went and bought sugar skulls at an ethnic market in South Seattle.
Yes.
And they had a whole big Day of the Dead display, and it was really super cool. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it every year, and this is an ethnic market that's just getting started up. There's a couple Hispanic booths, and then there's a couple people from West Africa. There's a few Asian people that have booths down there as well. So it's kind of like it's a pretty internationally diverse neighborhood off of Othello Street in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And this market's going to be open year-round. It really actually reminds me of the market in San Antonio. They have an indoor market there that is truly, you go do your Saturday shopping there.
Yes.
It's not a tourist attraction like the Pike Place Market is.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. So I took one of our little friends, and she is little. That's why I say little friends. I didn't mean that
she's
in
wee.
A derogatory way. She's in junior high, and she's my art buddy. So she and I went down there, and we picked out some sugar skulls, and then the tissue paper banners, I can't remember what they're called. I never took Spanish, so when I try and pronounce things
Spanish, it's better
that I say the American translation.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's better that way. So it's not to offend our
anyone, really.
It's yes.
Just, yeah, super offensive, regardless of what I say. So you're supposed to decorate these sugar skulls. The traditional way is to decorate them with royal icing.
Mm-hmm.
But what we used was the golden fluid acrylics.
Yep, just the plain old golden fluid acrylics right out of the bottles.
They worked so well.
After I got used to the absorbency of the sugar. And the mm-hmm. sugar skulls are mm-hmm. actually packed sugar. They're not like a sugar slurry that's pressed, they're pressed into a mold, but they're not, it's not like they poured some kind of, wet sugar into a thing and then held it there. It's just actual pressure compacted sugar, as I understand it. So it's not,
like a diamond.
Yeah. Like a diamond.
No,
like a diamond of sugar.
It's basically what would amount to making a meringue for the sugar to stick together. So it's like egg whites.
Oh, there is egg whites and stuff in
there
it?
There is egg whites,
okay, so
but
it's
not
just compressed. Disregard the thing that I said earlier about it just being compressed sugar. It's...
Oh, were you confused?
I think I was.
I'm going to try making some next year.
Cool.
Because I found some skull ice trays at the dollar store.
Oh, right on.
You can also, do kind of a rip off of the sugar skulls and make them with plaster Paris and then do like a coating of sugar around them.
Oh, that would
be
kind of cool.
I've seen that too.
That'd be cool.
Or like those little micro glass beads.
So when you're painting on the skulls, though...
Made of real sugar.
Because they are sugar, if you get too much liquid on it, so you can't like thin out the...
you wouldn't want to use watercolors
necessarily. The paints too much with water, because the water will dissolve the sugar a little bit, and that can lead to some weirdness. But the paint will get absorbed slightly into the sugar itself. So if you're careful and you figure, you work with it just a little bit, you can figure out pretty quickly how much paint to use on the brush to get a good solid color on the top of mm-hmm. the sugar rather than something that's soaked down in.
Mm-hmm. And the kids were trying to paint, some of them that we did it with, were trying to paint the whole thing a solid color.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work so well, but then they also had some pretty cool effects where the colors were like gradiated, which was kind of neat too.
It's true.
But I love the golden fluid acrylics. Those are some of my favorite paints because we use them primarily in collage work, but mm-hmm. we've also found that they work really amazingly well on what are your little plastic, you made all the little plastic goddesses for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I made them out of the thing that I will not be able to remember because
we use Sculpey and Fimo. But
when you
molded them.
I will look it up and I will mention it in another segment.
I keep thinking acetate, but that's not wrong. Is it polyurethane? No,
it's
not right.
It is a urethane plastic. It's a casting material.
Like resin, sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like resin. And the paint actually adheres really well to that stuff, too, without much messing
with. It
does,
yeah.
What else do we use it for? Oh, wood, when we did the wooden boxes. And you can thin it down, and then it almost looks like a stain.
Or
you can paint it on really thick. You can also paint it over top gesso, and that works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Straight on watercolor paper. What else have we used it on?
Book covers, magazine paper.
Ooh, and when you, Will came up with this really cool technique, like when you superheat it, it starts to bubble.
Oh, that's right.
Bubbles pop.
Yeah, the bubbles kind of come up and they start crackling, and then they get really, when the you get the flame off of it or the heat source off of it, and then it'll dry and it'll be solid, so you can actually feel like the raised bubbles and everything. Then
like
you can
Braille.
Then you can paint over those. And then you get sort of this kind of crackling, burned skin kind of effect, which is kind of gross and icky, but Halloween appropriate.
Totally Halloween appropriate.
Yes.
We also did not finish the project that we were supposed to do for Halloween.
For Halloween.
Because I was planning, so one of the counselors at the school this year, when our son was enrolling for his high school senior year.
Oh, that's right.
She was disturbed by some of her coworkers, because she has a deep
I don't think she was disturbed by her coworkers much by as by what they did.
What they did. Ooh. So the practical joke that they played on her was pretty freaking awesome, because she is terrified of dolls. She hates dolls. So they actually found a vintage plastic doll from probably like the 50s, 60s, maybe 70s. It's probably 50s or 60s. I think that's the era.
I would say so. Not a doll aficionado, but, you know.
The doll was probably 14 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And was impaled by a lamp.
A lamp.
So
a lamp sticking
awesome.
Out of the top
so,
of her head.
So, of course, I was in her office when I saw it, and we have taken Michael DeMang classes. Who doesn't go hand in hand with Halloween? But Michael DeMang. So what I was going to do, I was going to DeMang out this doll and take it back so she could make her coworkers even more creeped out.
Yes.
Than they made her with, like, roaches crawling out of the doll's eyes and
stuff like
that.
But I just thought of this, you know, if we had brought it back before Halloween, then it would become a Halloween decoration, which only comes out
once a year
at Halloween for a limited amount of time.
And they wouldn't have given it back to us either.
And that would have been, you know, weird and creepy. Mm-hmm. But if we deliver it for, say, Thanksgiving or some other, you know, some other more inappropriate holiday,
true.
Like perhaps Christmas, then it will become a permanent resident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Either
mm-hmm.
that, or it will not show up at all.
That's
It'll just
true.
Be kind of, oh, thanks. And then goes in a box and stays there in the
waiting
for
it,
Halloween.
I want it back, because I think that would be super cool.
You want it back?
I want a doll lamp. That thing is hideous.
Well, now you have a goal to find at the, you have a junk store goal to find.
I think I could build one without a problem.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I cannot imagine the person who thought of that as like a good idea. Like, what accoutrement does a little girl need in this here 1965-ish year for Christmas, let's say? Oh, I know. Let's take a doll that actually has the closing eyes when it lays down and stick a lamp in its head.
And out its butt.
And then, right, so the whole doll
Isn't that like Susie Wetzelot or something?
Literally just impaled from stem to stern on a lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a shade that goes over.
Which matches her dress.
It does.
Lovely.
It does, and it's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the closing eyes. It has the eyes. If you lay the lamp down, the doll's eyes will close. I don't know why they would do that. I don't get that. That's just weird.
It's the creep factor.
Is it?
It's the creep factor.
Is it? Okay.
So I think that's what you should dress up for Halloween next year.
As a doll with a lamp through
yes,
her head?
Yes, we will put a broomstick up your butt until it pokes out at the top of your head. And then we will put a lampshade on top of that and put you in a little frilly baptismal dress.
I am creeped out as it is right now. I'm squicking a little bit.
And that's what Halloween is all about.
Bumpy pumpkins.
Yeah.
Bumpy pumpkins.
Dude, they were so cool. They are still cool. They're still on our porch.
They actually have lasted longer than I expect. Well, actually, they lasted longer than normal pumpkins would have lasted.
Yeah.
But they're bumpy pumpkins.
They look like they have warts all over them.
Bumpy.
I have a big one that looks like Charlie Brown's head.
Bumpy.
and it is super bright tangerine orange. It is gorgeous. And then
and bumpy.
And very bumpy. It and looks like it got licked by a toad.
They're creepy. Warty, knobby, bumpy pumpkins.
They're awesome. I love them.
They're very Halloween-y. That's very sure.
And then
that's very
I got... The other one I got was not really a pumpkin. It was more of a gourd or a squash.
Uh-huh.
But it kind of... It looks like a pumpkin that then grew a like a top out of its butt.
That's true.
And it's not like a spinning top.
It's like a mushroom pumpkin. Like mm-hmm. a mushroom cloud pumpkin mm-hmm. when it's sitting yeah. properly. And yes. I unfortunately...
And it also has warts.
I sat it on... When I brought it in from the car, I put it onto the step incorrectly. I placed it with the large size yeah. side of it down so that it looked like a stack of stones, which were lumpy.
Mm-hmm. Like warts.
But, of course, I was quickly told that that was not... the way that should go, and it should be turned right side up, which looked like it's a stack of stones that are being driven into the ground like a nail.
I don't see the problem with that.
A lumpy nail.
And it's also green, and they're gray. And what other color are they?
Tan?
Yes, and kind of a greenish blue.
Kind of, yes.
They're pretty, as far as pumpkins and colors go, and, well,
they're very comfortable. They're very, very colorful. The pumpkins and the squash.
Then we have a Cinderella pumpkin.
Yes.
Which is this beautiful, like a light orange, but it's like almost a pastel.
Yes.
It's not crazy. It's not a ghost pumpkin. It's not totally white.
No. No, it's kind of it's yellowish with orange. With it, just orange, just an orange tint to it.
And I think that's nice. That's one of the things that I get totally inspired about this time of year as well, is because we are in the Pacific Northwest and we have gray skies quite often, but the trees actually look like they're on fire. Then we've got all these amazing gourds and mm-hmm. on fire in a good way, not like, you know, billowing smoke, but they're like red and orange and almost like a purple color. And the other day, our daughter and I, we actually saw, I swear, the trees looked pink. Huh. They looked pink.
Oh.
And they're maple trees, so they're not normally pink.
Well, no, but it's been a weird year.
It has. But I think that that's part of why I love this season, too. It's not just about the Halloween scary stuff or the costumes or the makeup or the candy or the fun activities or the good food, or I think it's the colors too, it's or the art projects.
Oh yeah.
What else did we do for projects this year for Halloween specifically? I love decorating our mantle, our fireplace mantle.
Yeah.
I have some vintage reproduction chalkware sculptures
mm-hmm.
that I have a devil and a cat.
The cat is super creepy.
And these are like throwbacks from probably the 20s, reproductions of stuff from the 20s
or
30s.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah. They kind of go with our chalk Santa things that we'll talk about later, but in that same sort of vein of things. I think they're actually made of paper mache or something similar.
Plaster of Paris.
Are they plaster of Paris?
Yeah, they are plaster of Paris.
I am batting zero today for getting what things are made of.
You know what? I think that you've got some substance abuse issues.
I haven't abused enough of them?
No, I think that you are abusing the substances and what they're made out of. Not that you're taking them internally, but you're being abusive about the substances that we're talking about.
Oh, okay. I don't
by misnaming them.
By misnaming.
That's what it is.
I should check my sources first. I should go and do my research before I come in here and talk on the talking box.
So I had a gal that I worked with when we lived in Kansas, and she made chalkware Santas. So she would buy the vintage chocolate molds, and she would pour plaster Paris in them and then paint them beautifully. And unfortunately, she is nowhere to be found on the internet. So.
And we don't have any of those.
I have one.
Oh, God!
Good Lord. But it's okay, because we have not unpacked that stuff, so we're not going to talk about it anymore. One holiday at a time.
Yeah.
No sacrilegious. Wait, what? Talking we about haven't. Christmas.
But Lowe's, where you go to get your hardware stuff for the seasons,
Shut
has already
mouth.
Put their Christmas stuff out.
Shut your mouth.
And giant inflatable Santas.
Shut your mouth.
And things.
Shut your mouth.
I can't.
We have not had
that would make the podcast
yet.
Uninteresting.
That is true.
Or okay. Disinteresting.
So we. Oh, I made mummy balls.
Yes.
For our nephews.
For our nephews.
Mm-hmm. That was super fun. This year I did not put glitter in the package.
As a special, special thing for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
No glitter this
and I
year
love
in
your,
the mummy balls.
I love your sister. I do, but that was pretty mean of me. I don't even remember when I sent glitter. but they have three boys, and I sent glitter or some kind of sequins or something. Anyway, it exploded, and they still were finding them when they moved out of their house. But so the three boys, I always try and come up with something fun. And this is a twist on surprise balls, which are, I believe, they come from England.
I am not going to contradict that, because if I do, whatever it is I say will be wrong.
So you put something really cool in the middle, and then you start winding paper streamers around it. So I did black and orange streamers, and then I didn't do any candy in it because mm-hmm. I didn't want their dog to chew on the surprise balls or something, or for them to drop the candy and then the dog to die. Or two dogs, actually. They got their other dog back. So what you do is you like put something in the middle, and then you wrap a couple layers of paper, and then you put another thing in, like a balloon. Or you can also do it for grown-ups too. My friend Ruth taught me how to do these, and she owns an amazing paper store, and she does custom invitations. She's an amazing graphic artist. But so I did these in black and orange, and then I did like erasers and inflatable characters, and I did black and orange balloons and some other stuff. Anyway, they apparently had a lot of fun, because then you have to unroll it to get all the stuff out.
Get all the stuff, and then you have a streamer. Yay!
Big bunches.
And who doesn't like a giant wad of streamer in their house?
But I bribed her. I also sent her like cookie cutters and sprinkles.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And since she likes baking, that'll be helpful.
You got to bribe the mom.
There you go.
That's how it rolls. That's you got to bribe the mom. So what did you help make for Halloween? That was delicious. And yummy. In your face.
Goulash.
Mm-hmm. I think it turned out really well this year.
It was very, very good. Yes, we make a terribly, terribly punny dish every year for Halloween because of the aforementioned Norman Rockwell-esque neighborhood full of kids
Cool.
wandering around, mm-hmm. Demanding candy in exchange for not egging our houses, I guess.
We've never had problems with trickers.
That is true. We've never been tricked. We always dish out gigantic
handfuls
of candy.
We had 22 pounds of candy that we handed out this year.
Holy mackerel.
I counted. I figured it out mathematically. 22 pounds of candy.
Wow.
And we also handed out vampire teeth.
Actually, it was kind of a slow year this year. I think we only had like...
It was up from last year. We had 200 this year.
We had 200 this year? Yeah.
Last year was 150.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting... It's starting to come back. So anyway, we have, because of this, and you know, we have a number of friends who come over and help us with the management of the candy dispersal. And so in order to reward them for that, we ply them with goulash and various... alcoholic consumables.
Mm-hmm. And pie.
The goulash is essentially just Hungarian goulash, but it is, we make it with, instead of with stew meat, we go with a kind of a higher quality cut of meat
Chuck
so
roast,
that there's less gristle and stuff. And it's fun to just make it and sit there and dish it out and then, you know, watch as the kids come up and hand them candy, and you can sit there and be all warm and snuggly, and warm and snuggly on the inside with the goulash. And when I tell people that we're having goulash tonight during Halloween, I always get this sort of eye-rolling, oh, groan sort of thing, which warms the cockles of my heart. Hundred of Something is an unholy production of Art Harpy and Mr. Bowen. Follow us on Twitter at 100 of Something. Download the podcast at podcast.100ofsomething.com, and you can follow Rachel at Art Harpy on Twitter. You can follow me, Will, at Mr. Bowen on Twitter. And
if you would like to say something to us, if there's a product that you know about that you'd like to let us know about, if you want us to read a book or review something that you've done,
or if you just want to tell us to shut up,
then you can email us at 100 of something, that's 100 of something at gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
Yes. Now get out there and make 100 of something. The 100 to Something podcast is shared under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative License. For more information, visit creativecommons.org.